Hello and welcome to another Trev and Ben podcast. Hello, Ben.
Hello, Trev.
I feel that we should start this week with an apology because of some ignorance that was shown on last week's podcast. One that I have been chastised for by several people in the week.
Well, I'm none the wiser, really, because we talk a lot of bollocks. So what do we do?
Do you remember last week we were talking about Fran, who'd appeared on the game show Pointless?
Oh, yes. Hard to forget, yeah.
And she had a little hobby, didn't she? She had a little hobby. Just remind ourselves of a little hobby she had.
I enjoy making jewellery out of animal bones.
She enjoys making jewellery out of animal bones.
Yeah.
And then we discovered how she got the bones.
Where do you get your animal bones? Do you find them yourself?
So my dad sources them. He takes apart owl pellets as part of his job.
So she gets the bones from her dad, who collects them from owl pellets.
Yes. Now, I listened back to last week's podcast, and I was, for quite a large chunk of it, very unclear as to where the bones were coming from, and I wasn't quite sure of the leap you were making. And then we arrived at sifting through owl shite.
Well, that's where we have made a glaring error, apparently. I've been, as I say, I've been put right by several people in the week. Some of them quite rudely, can I just say. I have one message, just said, do not do any research before your podcast. No, is the answer to that. I mean, we've never done research. We might do a little bit. I mean, I might have a quick scan of something, but research, I got time to be researching things.
Okay, so owl pellets, so they're not poo then?
It's not shit. They are undigested parts of birds' food, which are regurgitated, coughed up through the beak of the owl. So they're not excreted in the usual way that I was perhaps imagining. It's not shit. It's
vomit. But it was on its way.
Yeah, it's vomit. And then I remembered watching Would I Lie to You when Bob Mortimer was on, and he had to tell this lie about having an owl, looking after an owl.
Yes, I remember that. That's one of my favourite bits, that.
And on the opposing team was the guy, what's his name? Is it Steve Backshaw? Backshaw? Do you know the guy?
I'm not familiar.
Well, he's like, he does all that kind of stuff with dangerous animals, and he goes on all these big expeditions. Now, I remember him using, I might be wrong because I haven't watched it, but I remember him using the word, most of owls' fecal matter comes out through their mouth. So I would still argue that it's fecal matter. I would still put that argument out there, but we were wrong to call it shit.
Well, that's semantic, I suppose. I mean, I don't know you should be chastised quite so harshly. I mean, there's an interesting question. Yeah. When does digested food become officially shit?
Well, is that something we really need to discuss? If you went
now into the bathroom,
yes,
and you vomited,
yes,
no one would say, "Oh, Trev shit himself." Look,
no.
So at a certain point, it has to cross a boundary or a threshold.
yeah,
where it's no longer food or vomit. It's now, this is disgusting, this conversation.
I know, I don't know why we've gone down this particular alimentary canal.
Well, I'm very pleased that someone thought to, you know what Trev and Ben need to talk more about is this.
Yeah, I mean, I'd imagine it's some point in the, at some point in the digestive process, it must cross that barrier.
Yes.
I don't know any more than that. I'm not a doctor.
So owl pellets are chunks of undigested food.
Bones, fur, feathers, all the things we talked about last week. Basically, I just want to put the point across that, yes, we were wrong. Very happy to put the record straight. We did essentially mislead a parliament of owls. And
yeah. Did you say feathers?
Yeah, feathers. Yeah.
Why would they be digesting feathers?
Well, don't you remember that came up last week? Feathers in the in the pellets. Well, they're probably other birds, don't they? I expect the other birds are little birds might be eaten by an owl, maybe.
I didn't realise owls were cannibalistic.
Yes, yeah, so we didn't get into that last. I mean, the owl conversation seems to be bigger than we thought. That the owls' eating habits are more interesting than we perhaps put stock in originally.
But I do enjoy that of all the useless guff that we talk about on this podcast, that is the thing that someone got all offended by.
Not just one person, several got upset with me about the whole pellets thing.
Well, frankly, these lies on the Trev and Ben podcast, they will not stand. Like, misinformation about owls, we cannot put up with it.
I'd like to find an owl expert I mean, let's do that. Look at owl expert, and that'll teach him.
We do have a physicist.
I doubt they know much about owls. I don't know. They might. But I don't know where physics and owls come to. I suppose there's physics in the flying. There would be.
Yeah, maybe he isn't the man for this job, but I don't know any owl experts, I'm afraid to say.
I don't know any owl experts. I'm sure I've told you this story before, but I did have someone in my, one of the leaders in my cub pack, I remember being attacked by an owl.
Really? That's quite severe.
It was something to do with his glasses. It was something to do with the fact that he was wearing glasses that owls attacked. I'm sure we've talked about this before, and there was something I looked up, and there was a similar thing that people have encountered. If they wear glasses, owls, I don't know whether they see it as a, because they probably just see like glinting in the dark, and they probably think it's like a rabbit or something.
Or they're just bullies, and they're picking on the specky nerds.
So anyway, there we go. Record set straight. Job done. Sorry about that. But then someone else sent me, this is Chris who sent me this, said, you were talking about weird hobbies last week. I came across this. These are hobbies that people have supposedly put on their CVs.
I don't really understand at what point. They call it like the personal statement as well. You've got to attach to it as well. I don't know how many times an interview has been swung on the strength that you like to play pool on Tuesday nights.
Yeah.
I don't really think the employer will give a shit. Do you?
No, I don't. I don't know what they want from that. I mean, playing pool on a Tuesday night, I don't think it's not going to enhance your reputation, is it, in any way, shape or form, nor detract. It's just, no, I don't get it.
I suppose if I had two candidates that were exactly the same in as far as qualifications, then, you know, if I spoilt for choice of candidates who all had exactly the qualifications I needed, then at that point I might look at their hobbies and think, well, that guy might be a bit more sociable, bit nicer to have in the office. I don't know. Maybe it helps. But
don't you think it's probably just full of wank where they actually just want someone to write, no, I don't really have time for pastimes because I put all my energies into the workplace. I stay late. I put every 110%. That's probably the sort of bollocks they want to read. They don't want to read you go rock climb on a Sunday.
I do, as a sort of pet peeve of mine, I do loathe people who say they put in 110%.
I put in 110%. I put 110% for this podcast, Ben.
So, okay, I'll bet you do. That's, except your owl research, obviously.
But yeah, so, that was the 10% over that I didn't put too much in.
I'd love to hear what some of these are, because I bet they're... I mean, would you lie? Would you pretend you had a really interesting, eccentric hobby to get noticed on a CV? That could be quite a smart move.
Well, here's the thing. So I'm going to give you some of my favourites. I mean, one hobby is just hacking. Now, when you put that down, do you mean hacking on computers? Because depending on what the job is that you're going for, that could be seen as a pro or a con. If you're going for a job at MI5, hacking would probably be seen as a good thing. But if you're just going into some normal office, they probably don't want someone who can hack computer networks.
No, I mean, hacking does have largely negative, I suppose, connotations. But there is such a thing as ethical hacking. So it can be done nicely.
I mean, it could just mean they're like coughing.
Yeah, could do. Yeah, or whittling.
Whittling?
Yeah, hacking a bit of wood.
Oh, that sort of hacking. Yeah. Yeah.
You sounded so confused.
I mean, I knew whittling was something to do with wood, but I'm trying to think, where's the word hacking come into that? Because I see whittling as quite a delicate operation. You're just fucking hacking away.
Well, I would be. I'm very clumsy. I'm not with the precision. I was never blessed with the precision.
Okay. All right, here's another one. Samurai sword collecting. Now, I wouldn't want to employ someone who might have a bad day and bring in a samurai sword.
That's a good point.
I think I'd look at that CV and go, I don't know. That's a bit like there's, I don't mind people collecting things, but there are some things I think, that's weird.
Yeah. I also don't, I don't think it's a hobby, is it? I mean, getting something and putting it somewhere, it's collecting not much of a hobby.
No, but collecting is a... that's a basic hobby, collecting things, isn't it?
Well, I don't know.
Like when you're little, in the cubs and stuff, you're encouraged to take up collecting of things as a pastime, as a hobby. You collect your stamps, you sit down and you compile them, you put them in your albums. I collected coins.
If you're a samurai sword collector,
yeah,
then getting the sword, mounting it on the wall,
yeah,
job done. That's the extent of that.
Well, no, I mean, there must be some sort of, you've got to take it down every now and again, get a polish. You might take it to sort of, I don't know, would they have exhibitions or a fellow samurai sword collectors would gather? Although the problem is, how can you carry those around? Yeah, because the police would be on you like a shot these days if you're...
They would.
You go, I'm on my way to a samurai sword convention. No, you're not. I mean, that's, yeah, I don't know. The joy of just having it, if that's your thing, just hanging it up and you have your little collection, people come around and go, would you like to come and see my samurai sword? If you were around someone's house and they said, would you like to see my samurai sword collection? Don't tell me you're going, nah, it's all right, mate.
Are you allowed samurai swords?
I think if they are of an ornamental type, are you not a decorative? I don't know. Yeah, I don't know could just import a weapon.
But... It's a deadly weapon, right?
Yeah.
And I wouldn't be allowed, if the police came into my house and found an unlicensed firearm, they wouldn't let me keep that. So why would you be allowed to keep a samurai sword?
By the way,
just while we're on the subject, the I love the excuse of, oh, I can't come down the pub today, mate. I'm polishing my samurai sword.
Yeah, yeah.
That's going to be a hell of an excuse.
Yeah.
Well, so what can you, could can get you out, have them?
I mean, though? I once had a girlfriend, remember, who said she couldn't go on a date because her snake was shedding its skin. So, but sometimes those excuses work.
Yeah, that is one of the best excuses I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Also, I don't think, bless her, that snake needed her assistance with that process. I think it has it covered.
Well, don't say that, because that makes it sound like she didn't want to go out with me.
Well, humans don't assist with snakes shedding their skin.
Maybe
they don't.
Maybe you have to sit there and give it some sort of emotional support. Maybe you have to be there with a pair of tweezers in case it gets a bit stuck. I don't know. I've never had a snake. Don't say that she wasn't needed, because she clearly was. Otherwise, we would have gone on a date.
Well, I think she may have... I mean, she could have just said she was washing her hair. I mean, that would have been a bit more common, I suppose, a bit more normal.
No, but I wouldn't believe that. But if someone says, I can't come out my snake shedding its skin, as a young man with no experience of snakes, I wouldn't have known that she couldn't... that she could have just left it on its own.
So can you keep a samurai sword at home?
I don't know. I'm sure you can. I don't see why not.
Because you are right. It must be a nightmare if you're a collector of these things. Because, you know, imagine you pop down Croydon High Street for your local samurai sword shop.
Well, I don't think there's a samurai sword shop in Croydon.
Well, how'd you get it from A to B? Because if you get stopped by the police, I'm a collector of these things. I'm just taking it home. Mm. Yeah, sure you are, mate. Get in the back of the van. You can't have a samurai sword out and about, can you?
No, but there must be places, mail order places that sell ornamental display versions of samurai swords. It must be a thing.
I would be surprised that you're allowed a deadly weapon. But then again, a baseball bat could be a deadly weapon in the wrong hands.
I think people do collect weaponry, don't they? I think it can be collected, but I there you go. Here's another one. Escapology.
We're fans of that.
You'd be interested, wouldn't you? If someone had put that as a hobby on your CV and you're interviewing them, fuck the job interview. You're just going to tell me about the escapology. What do you do? Do you have like a tank with water? Are you just not a boring one that's just in a sack?
Well, you and I are fans of escapology in an extent, don't we? We like to do escape rooms.
Yes.
It's not the same as your straight jacket with handcuffs on and stuff, but no. It's a different kind of escapology.
But wouldn't you want to talk to them about that? Wouldn't you want to find out what their most extreme escape act was?
Yeah, I do remember. Do you remember a program called Balls of Steel?
Yeah, that rings a bell.
There was a guy who was, I think he's a fairly successful magician now. He's a bald guy, and he was a big fan. I think his name was Jonathan, but I might have got that wrong. He was a big fan of all these escapology tricks. And I remember one he did, which was it's hard to describe. He basically, with sort of handcuffs, handcuffed himself to a bed as if, you know, it was, you know, might be getting a bit naughty.
Yes.
It's completely starfish out on the bed, ankles tied to each bedpost and wrists side up to the other. So he's completely stretched out. And he put, I think he had some assistants setting this up, by the way.
Right.
He put a bed sheet over the top of himself, suspended. And then he put an iron on top of that and turned it on. And he had to escape before the iron burned through the cloth and landed on his chest.
Right. Well, that's quite good. I like that.
I remember he got quite badly hurt.
Did he?
Yeah, I think he did.
Oh, dear. Well, thanks for bringing that bit of humour to the podcast. Oh, so let me tell you this story, Trev. It's about a brilliant trick he did. Oh, then he got terribly burned.
I mean, he was on a programme called Balls of Steel. I don't think it was like proper escapology, but I always stayed with me for years, that.
I did see this thing recently. This guy did the whole, you know, the one where they hang upside down in the water.
Hang upside down in water?
You know, they have like a glass tank. And they sort of put in with their feet tied to the top, the sort of lid, and then they're put in handcuffed and all of that.
Gotta be honest, that's giving me a bit of anxiety, that, Trev. I don't like that.
Well, it was a famous Houdini trick. I think I've got that right. Anyway, this guy did it and it went terribly wrong. And they had to smash the glass to get him out. Because at first they thought, oh, he's really hamming this up. You know, the time's ticking. It's at the point now where it's 3 minutes. He's had no air. This is now dangerous. So eventually, by the time they got him out, he was in quite a bad way and had to be rushed to the hospital.
Oh, dear. Right? Was he okay?
He survived that. And then a few years later, or however long it went, he went, oh, I think I'll give it another go. Didn't go well again. He's decided he's not going to do that trick ever again. I think if it goes wrong once, don't do that one again. That would be my advice.
Yeah. Or have a faster fail-safe in order, I think.
Yes, yes. A friend of mine, this is a few years ago, she's a radio presenter, and I don't know if this was to do with the radio, I think it might have been. She went to this night of magic, and she was brought up as one of the volunteers to do the whole hand in the little guillotine trick.
Oh, yeah.
It went terribly wrong.
How could that go wrong?
I don't know, but she had to be rushed to hospital and have surgery on the tendons in her wrist because the blade cut through. Yeah, yeah.
It's supposed to be... I used to have one of those as a kid, just a little novelty toy.
I mean, magicians, I don't know. I would suggest magicians use something slightly different to what you'd get as a kid.
Well, the way it works, this toy, is that... If you can imagine an L-shape bend of metal. So the moment the blade comes down across your finger,
yeah,
it concealed behind the plastic, it goes round on its axis, and then the other bit sticks out under your finger and carries on going down.
Right.
So it's absolutely harmless. So what on earth this psychopath was doing with an actual guillotine?
No, but the ones proper magicians use, surely, because they always put the carrot in first, don't they? And it chops down through a carrot. So there must be a proper blade.
So he
there.
Forgot to flick the switch, there he must, still had it set on carrot.
Yeah, yeah, he had it set on carrot, not wrist. Yeah. Again, not that funny, Ben, but you're getting a lot of humour out of someone's horrific injury.
Can you sue a magician if they grossly wound you? I mean, you did agree to go along with every stage of it, so...
Well, she did get compensation.
Really?
Yeah, she did, because it was one of those horrible... Because, I mean, obviously the magician felt terrible. I mean, absolutely felt awful about the whole thing. But then... Again, she had to decide, because I think she sort of knew the guy as well. So it was one of those things, do I sue you? Obviously, he was insured for this sort of thing. And she got compensation for it. So it swings around about, isn't it, I suppose.
Was her hand okay? Because tendon damage sounds nasty.
Well, I think she still has the odd trouble with it these days. I mean, it did repair itself quite well. But yeah, I mean, it's sort of damaged for life.
I'm going to get really nosy now, because I imagine the listener would want to know. Can you give me a ballpark figure of the sort of sum you can expect if a magician almost severs your hand?
I don't know what she got. I genuinely don't know. I have no idea what she got.
Oh.
I really don't know. All I know is that she got something, because it was a quite sort of long-winded process. I remember at the end she went, I got some compensation. But
you couldn't text her and ask her, could you? Might take her a while to type out the reply.
Yeah. Now, here's a weird one. This perhaps my ex-girlfriend does this. Snakeskin collecting.
Right, okay. For what ends?
I don't know.
Can you make anything out of snakeskin?
Of course you can. Handbags, You can shoes.
Yeah, you can, can't you?
A lot of things out of snake
skin. Silly question.
Wallets. I bought my mate a snake skin wallet when I was in Thailand. I'm sure it was snake skin I bought him.
I'm not sure that's...
Is that not a good present to give
someone?
No? Okay, well, no. I bought it. I don't know if he ever used it. Unlikely.
I think it would be considered quite cruel and unusual to be a participant in the skinning of animals for profit. But whatever, mate. You do you. I heard this week that... You know the beef eaters who guard Buckingham Palace?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know their hats are made from real, genuine burrs?
Burrs?
Bear fur. Oh, burr, as I call it.
Burr.
genuine burr fair. No, I've said it wrong again. I can't fucking speak.
Bear fur.
Genuine bear fur. Black bears from Canada, yes.
Right. Now, when you say the beef eaters...
You're going to leave all that in, aren't you? Just to make me look like a fucking idiot.
Of course
thank
I am.
You.
I've got... But also, I'm a bit confused, because when you say beef eaters don't wear those sort of hats, I don't
think. Queen's Guard.
Yeah, yeah, I don't think they're beef eaters.
I thought they were called beef eaters.
No, beef eaters are like are they not like the yeomen of the guard at the Tower of London? They don't wear those sort of hats.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Are you talking about the ones outside Buckingham Palace?
Yeah, I'm talking about those ones.
Yeah. The Queen's Guard. Yeah, no, because they're called bearskins, those hats, aren't they?
Listen, this might sound controversial. I'm not the biggest fan of the Queen's Guard.
Why?
Because they're a little bit mean, in my opinion. I've seen them marching around.
Yeah.
They scream at people.
Yeah.
And also, there is loads of clips you can find on YouTube of them walking through people, knocking them out of the way, knocking them over in some cases. I saw a small child getting knocked over the other day because he didn't know to get out of the way of them. Stand back from the Queen's Guard! And then, pow!
Well, they've got to do their duty, Ben. They've got to do their duty.
What's wrong with... it's very British. Excuse me, out the way. Out the way. Come on, coming through. Move. Just plough through them.
That's a soldier for you, Ben. They've got to do their duty, come what may. Just got to
but
go for it.
There are some people who are standing there innocently with their back turned to these people who just don't know what's going on. Well, and all of a sudden, they're on their ass.
Well, surely they can hear the marching coming towards them. Use your ears, people. Come on. Be aware of what's around you.
Bear fur.
Bear fur, yes.
Genuine bear fur in those hats.
Yeah, surely we're getting to a point in this day and age where they can not have real burr.
No. Can we call it burr from now on? I think that'd be really good.
We could do some sort of fake burr.
Yeah, we could make our own synthetic bear hats and we could call it burr. somebody did try and suggest synthesized bear hair, but...
just maybe it's like someone's making like a tune.
that makes sense. The word synthesized in that does it not?
Yeah, possibly. I would have gone with synthetic, but
that might have been what I was thinking of.
Synthesized might still be possible. I don't know the.
But
it just made me think of like, you know, the Pet Shop Boys or something.
No, but I think it failed some sort of test about being used in rain and wet. And I think Boris Johnson actually kiboshed the idea of using synthetic burr. He wanted it to be the real stuff.
Really?
Which is interesting because I think his wife, Carrie, is a big Peter person.
A big Peter person?
Yeah.
Where are they getting the fur? Are they killing bears deliberately?
Yes, they're hunting black bears in Canada.
To make them. Well, I mean, that's wrong. We've got to stop that.
Yes.
I mean, just have a different sort of hat.
Do you think there's such a thing as ethical fur? Like, if I said, okay, we are going to skin the bears and take the fur, but what we're not going to do is we're not going to hunt them.
Yeah.
We're gonna farm them, give them a lovely existence, long life, and when they eventually die of old age, you know, it's not the fastest way of farming this stuff, it's ethical. Then once they've died of natural causes and had a lovely bear life, then we'll just come in with a scalpel and there you go. There's your ethical, legitimate bear fur hat. I've developed a real... mind fuck about being able to say bear fur now. I'm stumbling. I'm getting nervous when it comes to the point where I have to say bear fur.
Well, you could do that. As you say, I just think the amount that you need to have, because you've got to have a very successful breeding program. I just don't think you're going to get the amount of fur you need to keep up with the amount needed for
well, no, you could breed hats. Them. You could breed them. Mm. It would just to, I don't know what the average lifespan is of a black bear. So you know,
it's probably a long time. I'm guessing it might take 20 odd years.
Oh, as little as that. I thought it might be more than that. Okay.
We're going to look out. Well, is it the black bears, you say?
Yes, the Canadian black bear. So we need to know the average lifespan of that.
Okay, the black bear can live up to 30 years in the wild.
Okay, so it's going to take about 30 years for this endeavour to start paying off.
Mm.
So you're going to have to be patient with this one.
Yeah.
But is there still a thing as ethical fur? If the animal has died of natural causes, you gave it a lovely life, you looked after it, now it's dead, so can we use the fur then, or is that still a no-go?
I think if it dies of natural causes, I don't have an issue with that at all. I mean, could you not... If you've got bear farms, as you now are suggesting, that we... I mean, they're going to have to be large areas. We can't just have... You know, they've got to be able to live almost a natural life, haven't they?
Yes. So, can you make sure when you tweet out about this podcast, you include Peter as a, you know, at them or something?
Yeah.
Because I'm sure they never... I'm sure they have a few opinions about this.
But could you...
And it cares a few more listeners.
Could you not...
I'll take angry people as well. Everyone's welcome.
Could you not just shear them like sheep?
Well, why not?
Oh, good luck shearing a black bear, mate.
When it's dead, you could shear it, couldn't you? No, but
shear them when they're alive. Then you don't have to wait the 30 years. Once a year, you shear the bear. They'll be able to grow it back, presumably.
Well, what if the first trimming went towards making the bear a bearskin coat? So that the next time you shave him, you can then put on his original coat that he made to keep him warm.
But then where are you getting the fur for the hats? You're just shaving the bear to make it a coat. What's the point of that? That's because the most pointless exercise in the world. We're making hats here.
No, that's fine. Every subsequent shave goes towards the hats, but out of love and respect for the nice bear, the first shave goes towards making it a coat of its own fur back.
I mean,
so that when you shave it, you can put a coat on it and keep it warm. Trev, you were talking earlier on about how we don't plan for this podcast, and that isn't true, is it?
Not entirely. Occasionally, occasionally there's a little bit of planning.
You got in touch with me this week and said, Ben, I want to talk about The Apprentice, specifically this week's episode. Get on it, it's on catch up. I watched it, and it was this week's task was for the cretins to go out and try and form their own video game.
Now, I'm a little bit disappointed in myself for watching The Apprentice, because a few years ago I made a vow that I would never watch The Apprentice ever again, because I find the people on it so annoying, so utterly hateful, that it doesn't bring me any joy watching it, you know. And it just reminded me of some of the people I've worked with over the years who think they're the big I am, and I just thought, why am I spending my spare time watching these wankers?
I've got to say, because I've got to try and be fair here, and this might sound sexist or misogynistic, it isn't, it's simply true. I found the guys to be okay, fairly likable, not complete arseholes. The women, however, what a gaggle of bitches he has got on this show this year. Horrible, backstabbing, slagging him off. One poor cow couldn't get a word in edgeways. She was being constantly overruled and interrupted. Oh, it was horrible.
I mean, I think because you've only watched the one episode, and the women were particularly bad this week. I think they're all equally bad, though. They're just, I don't know what it is with that show. So anyway, I found myself being drawn into it again this year. And once you've watched one episode, you're drawn in, aren't you? And I don't like myself for it, but I will watch this one to the end. But I'm sort of vowing this will be the last one I ever watch.
You were being highly praised in my household for suggesting this.
Because, was I?
Mrs. Ben absolutely loved it. The piss-taking we had, it was like an event.
Well, that's good. I'm glad that I've been able to bring some harmony to the... it's been tricky in the tricky marriage.
She even asked me, she said, when you go up to record with Trevor later on, she said, do you mind if I happen to watch maybe some more of The Apprentice? Or... I said, I'll go for your boots.
Yeah.
I don't know why she'd want to.
Well, I thought you'd be particularly interested in it because it was about video games, and obviously I know you are an avid gamer.
I am.
So I wanted your opinions on the games. Now, there were two teams, as always, the wankers and the dickheads. They're the two. they have got names, but I couldn't tell you what they are. Now, one of them did it was almost like a Lara Croft type thing. They had this character who was in a prison and she had to break out. And to be fair, I thought their promo was pretty good. I thought the image was pretty good. Now, you're the gamer. Obviously, it was a very quickly designed game, but it looked pretty shit to me.
There was a shot we saw of the character walking towards the screen while she was sort of giving us the spiel. And I don't know how they managed to botch the animation of her walking so badly. It looked like she had a dodgy, like a limp or something,
or a
bad leg. So that was quite entertaining to watch. This sort of superhero, femme fatale, Lara Croft type with a gammy leg.
The thing I find with the whole, that there's a massive, watching The Apprentice again after having taken a few years break from watching it, you realise there's so many flaws in the whole process, because they said they have, you know, two teams that are then split into sub teams, and one team goes and does one aspect of the task and the other team does another aspect of the task. And you sort of think, well, surely, they had one a couple of weeks ago where they had to come up with a new drink, right?
Right.
So they have one team who went and created the drink, and then they have the team that goes and does the branding. And you just think, well, the project manager would be across both things in real life, surely. They wouldn't just go, well, I'm going to go and make the drink. You just do whatever branding you want. Because then the next day, when they come back and they have the two things together, the teams look at what the other team have done and go, well, that's fucking shit. In my experience, that's not how life works.
I love watching them all squabbling to try and take credit for what they think is a great idea at the time.
Yes.
And when it turns out to be the sole disastrous reason that the whole thing fell apart, they all just scatter like rats off a ship, trying to disassociate themselves from it at all and blame everybody else. It's just like watching politics.
I was going to say, they make great politicians. Now, the other team, they were spectacularly shite.
Now, I was going to say, as bad as that one sounded, that was the better of the two games. This was a mess from start to finish.
Now, they decided, because the woman who put herself in charge, she was obviously an eco-warrior, not a problem with that, but she decided very strongly that that should be the whole basis of the game, to get the green message out there. You've got to save animals, and particularly animals in a certain part of the world. So they split up into their two teams, remember? You've got the one team that go off and do the branding, and they make the promotional sort of video, and the other team go and design the game. Just want to play you a couple of clips from the team designing the game and coming up with the name for the game. This was when they came up with the original idea.
One of the names that I really like to put forward is Arctic Savior.
Arctic Savior.
Yeah.
It sounds...
This, Trev, blew my mind. Carry on with the clips.
Now, I don't know about you, Ben. It's just have a quick listen to what she says again.
One of the names that I really like to put forward is Arctic Savior.
She's an Arctic Savior.
It's grinding on me again.
It might just be her accent. It might just be the way she says Arctic, that she misses that C out and just go Arctic. They go on to discuss it in depth, all three of them.
I love Arctic. I definitely think that should be in there, but mixed with mission to make it more exciting. Oh, but we're trying to say what the game is.
It's Arctic Savior.
You are the Arctic Savior.
Arctic again.
That's your playing as. Is it as engaging as Arctic Mission? You're on a mission to save the Arctic. It sounds more exciting.
I get what you're saying in terms of angle, but for me, Arctic Savior is more of a game name.
What are the odds? I can understand, right? I can understand how you find one idiot who at first I thought, oh, you know what? Let it go, Ben. Maybe it's her accent. Maybe she's tripped over her words. Yeah, Lord knows. Even I can trip over my words.
Yeah, yeah.
Burr. But I swear to God, what are the chances of finding an entire room of people who don't know that it's the Arctic, not Arctic?
The thing is, they might just not know how to say it. Surely when it comes to the graphics, they would spell it correctly. I think they even check their spelling as they go.
Arctic, have we spelled it right? Arctic, S-A-V-I-O-U-R. Oh, that's perfect.
Okay.
So they've said the spelling's perfect. They've written it out in the way that they think it should be written out, and they've checked the spelling. You've just heard them.
I wondered, honestly, I swear to you, I wondered, really, if what's happened here is like a strange social psychosis has set in, where you're in a room full of people saying Arctic, and you start questioning yourself, thinking, well, I thought it was Arctic, but everyone in this room is saying Arctic, so I'm not going to look stupid. I'm going to go along with it. Arctic. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I like the Arctic. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, love the Arctic, me. And then that's just what happened to all of them somehow. Yeah. Because what are the chances of finding an entire room of people that all think it's Arctic?
Oh, yeah. Well, the thing is, yeah.
And then they bloody wrote it down.
Well, yes, they did spell it A-R-T-I-C on the graphic, but maybe when they took it out to focus groups, Ben, nobody would notice.
It says Arctic Saviour.
Everybody noticed. First
thing they noticed.
And what does that say to you?
That's not even a word.
There's some more feedback.
I probably would have spelled it slightly differently.
How would you have spelled it?
I would have probably gone A-R-C-T-I-C. Especially if kids are going to play it, they probably want the right spelling.
I believe it's supposed to be Arctic Saviour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The nerve of her asking, how would you have spelt it? The correct way, love. Yeah. That's how I'd have spelt it.
I'll tell you who I felt for as well, was the guy that they employ to design all the stuff. So he just has to do what they tell him.
I bet he knew.
Of course he knew.
I bet he knew. And he thought, you know what? I'm going to fuck these posh people up. I'm not going to tell them mistake.
He's probably not allowed to. That's the thing. He's probably not allowed to. He's probably just told you do exactly what they ask. I mean, I've been in that situation in recording studios where something's been going on and I'm just the engineer. And you're desperate to say, that doesn't sound right. That's not, but you can't. That's not your job. My job is just there to press the buttons and press record.
I couldn't help myself. I'd have to let them know, because they'd probably be really grateful, wouldn't they? Because you'd have been saving them a lot of time and effort in yes. producing a completely erroneous advert. And we've had this before at the radio station we used to work at. We had to do a live read three times an hour for 3 hours. For about 2 weeks we were doing it, until some genius told us we'd been mispronouncing the company name because we'd been assured it was pronounced A when it should have been B.
I know. I know. And then you have to change it and just think, well, let's hope nobody notices.
Yeah. And obviously, you know, it was a very building-centric radio station. So we were often given drills to promote the new Bosch A3400. And we'd say to them, is this the A3400 or is it the A3400?
Yeah.
The A3400? How do they like it to be said? The sales team had no fucking idea. Oh, well, I don't know.
Yeah, we'd always end up with the wrong one.
Money's in the bank, doesn't matter.
So the other glaring mistake they made, which admittedly I did miss myself, because the idea of the game was that you save penguins, polar bears, seals. You have to save these animals. That was the whole concept of the game. Also, which was brilliant, by shooting people.
Do you know as well, the people they were shooting didn't half look child-sized.
Yes.
They were very small people.
Yeah.
I don't think they were shooting grown adults. I think they seemed to be murdering children for the sake of saving a penguin.
But then somebody pointed out to them that in the Arctic there are no penguins.
Now, I must say, I didn't know that either, but I do know that Arctic means bear, and Antarctic literally means no bears.
Yes.
So that's the easy way to remember that. But yes. I wouldn't have known about the penguins, but I think I would have double checked.
Well, yeah, no, you'd do your research, wouldn't you?
Yes. The whole thing, start to finish, disaster. I just thought, at least posh people, you sort of think they're supposed to have a bit of an education behind them, a bit of a fucking brain. Some of them, not all of them, some of them, painfully stupid.
They're not, but they're not all posh, though, mate. They're just people who think they can do everything. And that's,
oh, come on, they're a bit posh.
Some of them,
they're a bit yah.
But that's where these people. No, but that's the act they portray, isn't it? Because they think that's how you get on in business, by showing that yah, hooray, Henry type attitude. Oh yeah, you know, I can do anything. I mean, I will be throwing others under the bus, but there'll be no bus near me. I'll be driving the bus.
Oh God, it was simultaneously painful and brilliant, because, like I say, I got to sit next to Mrs. Ben pissing ourselves laughing at these idiots.
Now, spoiler alert, if you haven't seen it, I'm going to tell you a little bit of information that you might want to pause and move on here. But the brilliant thing is, nobody, none of the experts placed any fake orders as they do in The Apprentice. So they got fuck all and were soundly and roundly beaten, quite rightly. It did make me wonder whether this team were in charge of, because, you know, we've just celebrated the Queen's 70th anniversary of coming to the throne.
Yes.
It did make me wonder, because obviously we're going to have a big year of celebrations coming up. We're going to have an extra bank holiday. There's going to be a whole bunch of events coming up. And obviously there's going to be a lot of memorabilia around to celebrate this landmark.
Yeah.
And it made me wonder whether the team were behind some plates. Have you seen the plates that have been created to celebrate this amazing landmark for our monarch?
No, I haven't.
Basically, 10,800 teacups, mugs and plates have been printed. And there's a lovely picture of the Queen on. There's a crest. And then it's got in big letters, the Platinum Jubilee.
The annoying thing is, though, I want one now, and and that must make them super rare and valuable, I suppose.
Apparently, there's about 32 grand's worth of this stuff. I would pay 20 quid for one of them. I would have a Platinum Jubilee plate. 20 quid, I'll have one.
I love that. Oh. Before we go, Trev, last week I had to get something off my chest, which was when I was almost fleeced for a new cable. Do you remember?
I do remember. Yes, you were beyond angry.
Yes. So this was a new AV cable for a GameCube, which had been broken due to an accident.
Because you were desperate to play Arctic Savior.
I was, yeah, chomping at the bit. So I basically needed this new cable. Was quoted £50, told them to stick it up and then paid £6 for one from Amazon Prime. It came and didn't work. So then I reached the conclusion that, oh shit, you know what's happened here is, what I've done is, I've knocked the GameCube off the counter, and what it must have done is, because this new cable hasn't actually fixed anything, it must have damaged the thing inside it, so it still works, but it's not working properly. And what I need now is a new GameCube.
Oh, well, they had one. They had one, didn't they? 55 quid for the whole lot last week.
So I went back to the shop.
They haven't got it anymore, have they?
Remembering that little fact.
Yeah.
Nope, sold out.
Oh.
I said, is there one local? They said, well, no, there's one in Crawley. 60 quid. I thought, that's gone up. That's gone up by a fiver. And now I'm going to drive 20 minutes to Crawley.
It's a higher quality product.
So I drive to Crawley, pick it up, part with 60 quid.
Yeah.
Come home, test it out. Same problem.
Same problem.
Exactly the same problem. Exactly the same problem. It turns out that the cable wasn't the problem. The GameCube wasn't the problem. The brand new TV that I've got is the problem. And it can't display the, because it's such a modern new TV.
Yeah.
And the GameCube is such an old console that they just don't work together.
Hey, no, come on. This is, I've got a newish telly and I can still put a fucking Spectrum on it. There must be a way you can plug a GameCube into a television if I can put a Spectrum on.
It just wouldn't have it. So now I have two GameCubes, two controllers, two cables, one TV, nothing working, and I'm losing my mind. And then I'm trying to look up all these different YouTube tutorials, how to fix this, color problems, RGB cables, PAL, NTDC, whatever the hell's going on with all this color information that I'm too dumb to understand. And then I watch a video which says, of course, the Nintendo Wii is completely backwards compatible and can play all of your GameCube games.
Right.
At which point, I think, for fuck's sake, I once knew that. I own a Wii. It sat next to me. I can play my GameCube games in the Wii. And I'm sat here, a man, £70 down on the deal, superfluous cables, two GameCubes now, which are basically paperweights. And I can do everything in a console that I had already in the house, sitting staring at me.
Fucking idiot.
I am a fucking idiot. So, long story short, two GameCubes for sale, £120 on nearest offer.
I tell you one thing that we can learn from this, Ben.
Yes?
Do your fucking research. But And there we are. That's it for another Trev and Ben podcast. Just before we go, a couple of recommendations for you. First of all, a TV show that I've come a little bit late to be honest with you, Ben.
Okay.
But I'm really enjoying it. It stars Diane Morgan.
Oh, big fan of Diane Morgan, yeah.
It's called Mandy.
Okay.
They're only 15-minute episodes, and she plays this sort of feckless woman who's constantly trying different jobs, and they go terribly wrong on all occasions. I only started watching it this week. I'd seen little bits of it before and just hadn't got around to watching it, but it's funny. Really, really funny.
I think Diane Morgan's great. I haven't seen her in anything. I think she's not brilliant in. Have you ever seen Motherland on Netflix?
That's something that's on my list to see. I haven't seen it. I know she's in that. I don't know if she wrote that, but she's definitely in it.
Don't think she wrote it, but she's certainly in it and very good.
Okay, well, anyway, Mandy is well worth a watch. Very, very funny. There's one episode to look out for in series one. All I'll say to you is bananas and spiders. Very funny episode.
Okay.
Well worth a watch.
I'm intrigued.
I also want to recommend a podcast. It's called Chatterbix. It's hosted by David Earle and Joe Wilkinson.
Okay.
Both of whom appear in Afterlife.
Yes.
I've not listened to too many of them, but they've just done one with Ricky Gervais. And the three of them together, it's just so funny.
I'll definitely give that a listen.
So that's it's called Chatterbix. Get it from wherever you get your podcast. And the final thing I'm going to recommend is a bit different. It's a book.
A book?
A book, Ben.
Whoa. It's one getting of those. A bit above your station, aren't you, with a book?
It's one of those things you read, Ben. I'm just coming to the end of Bob Mortimer's autobiography called And Away. It is fucking brilliant.
Now, I'm a big fan of Bob Mortimer. I think it's fair to say you're a bigger fan, but I'm surprised, not that I'm anti-reading, I happen to not read at all, but I'm surprised you wouldn't have preferred to listen to the audiobook.
I might listen to the audiobook. Apparently the audiobook's slightly different to the book anyway, but I like to read a book, Ben. I've never really got on with audiobooks, I have to say.
Okay, well, whilst we're, you know, being all sophisticated and recommending books.
Well, this podcast is very sophisticated, isn't it?
Fellow podcaster, look at me. I'm going to try and put us and Adam Buxton in the same category as podcasters and hope no one notices.
Yeah, yeah.
Fellow podcaster, Adam Buxton.
Old mate, you mean?
yeah, Buckles, our mate. he has a book out called Ramble Book. And if you get the audiobook version, I think it has some bonus content recorded with him and Joe Cornish, which would be a very good listen. And I will be listening to it this week.
Oh, marvellous. I must get to that. I think I've heard him say about there being extra bits with him and Joe. So, yeah, it'd be well worth it.
So you don't get that with your hardcover book, do you? Hey?
You don't, no.
Shove your paper up your ass.
Just sometimes, Ben, it's nice to have a book. Honestly, such a philistine.
I'm going to get, just to spite you as well, I'm going to listen to Bob Mortimer's autobiography. Not read it, listen to it.
Right, fine. It's not a problem. Enjoy it.
Sure, I will.
Very good. So there we are. That's it for this week. Thank you very much for listening and downloading. Don't forget to get in touch with us about anything, even if it's just to have a go. It's fine.
We're desperate, please. Even if it's abuse, get in touch.
Well, by the way, our old mate John in Guildford, perhaps he can send us this again. He mentioned us in a tweet this week.
Did he?
Yeah, and then we mentioned this in a couple of tweets. One which I kind of liked and responded to. The other one, I couldn't see the original tweet that he was pointing us towards because I wasn't authorised to see it. So, John, I don't know if you can give
cryptic.
Us a little bit more information about what that was, whether it was anything we should know about. Urgently.
What do you mean you weren't authorised to see it? Well, what, do the Twitter police demand your credentials?
Yes.
What's going on?
You go on it and it says, I'm going to look it up now and tell you exactly what it said. Okay? He mentioned us in a tweet in response to somebody called Marco P. Shite. And it says, you're unable to view this tweet. This is the original tweet because this account owner limits who can view their tweets.
Oh.
So I couldn't see the original tweet. So thank you for mentioning us there, John, but I've no idea what it was about.
Interesting.
I'm intrigued. So do let us know. There we are. That's it for this week. Thank you very much for listening and downloading. We'll catch you again next week. Till then, stay safe, stay well, take it easy.
Bye.